Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Walden. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Crosswalk Talk. We're so glad you're with us tonight. I've never cut it closer coming in here. I couldn't help it, but I'm here like 1 minute before the program begins. Whew. Thank you, Lord, that I made it. I hope that you've had a great day in Jesus, that you've experienced his presence, his power, and anointing. I pray right now that the glory just fills the room wherever you are, whenever you're listening now or in the downloads and the archives. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that your desire is to bless us, to know us, and to empower us as you live the life through us. Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for your plans and purposes. We thank you that you only have our best interests at heart and that everything we do can be blessed in you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you love us with a perfect love that casts out all our fears. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We know that Jesus died to set us free, but not just to forgive our sins one at a time, to leave us in a pattern of downward spirals or negative cycles or bondages or habits forever. Jesus died to really set us free. And we know that his truth sets us free. Amen. And we thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. And I just want to encourage you tonight to get out pen and paper because I'm going to be sharing a lot of verses. And I'm struggling because the cord to my phone is too short. I hope Lewis is hearing me and he can come in here and help me get a little slack. Please come in, Lou. And we're just going to be sharing a lot of verses that will remind you of some things that you already know and other things that might be new to you so that you can know how to pray more effectively. Thank you, Lou. Please come in. There he is. Lou, please come in. I need you to pull this closer. I hate to say that on the air, but I just can't even pull this to my ear. The whole thing right there. Okay. All right. Maybe that'll give me a few inches. There you go. Thank you so much. We're just at home, folks, right? Well, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for teamwork. Amen. And tonight, I wanted to give you some specifics. Sometimes people say, well, what is that in the Bible? You know, didn't Jesus do it all when he died on the cross? Well, yes, he did. But there are many verses about how we can apply that freedom, that power, that deliverance, that transformation, all these things. How do we apply it? Because we have a part in it. It's not that Jesus didn't finish the work on the cross. It's like, you know, when you receive Christ, you have to pray to receive Christ. You have to agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's that same kind of thing. That obviously when you look around, you can see that not everybody is all free of all their blockages and habits and downward spirals and negative cycles, amen? And so how do we get free? Well, we have to learn how to apply what Jesus did for us. And I hope that you'll invite a friend to listen tonight because this is going to be real practical, and especially in this next season, where there'll be new challenges and things that are different that we're not all practiced up on. things that we will have to deal with that may be new to us. And the call-in number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. You can call in with questions if you have specific cases. You know, it's hard to give answers about hypotheticals, but I don't want you to give anybody else's name on the air. Neither do I want you to implicate anybody if you're going to talk about your sin. You know, but you could ask a general but specific question like, how do you break the power of this particular thing? Maybe that way. But if you've got your pen and paper ready, I just wanted to share a lot with you what the Bible says about how to apply the freedom that Jesus died to give us. The blood hasn't lost its power, amen. How to apply that when you're praying for people or for yourself. You know, the Bible says that many people have only been healed partially in Jeremiah 6:14. It's clear, my people have been healed partially, one of the verses says. And the priests that have prayed for them say peace, peace, but still there is no peace. And I would say one of the most common things that blocks us in our progress is that we've had judgmental attitudes. I've confessed over and over that I did not know I was judgmental. I thought I was just insightful. But it just depends on what you do with those insights, amen? And the Bible says in Luke 6:37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. There's a real sowing and reaping here. And many times when bad things happen to us, we think it came out of the blue. But there could be a sowing and reaping process where we have judged other people, for instance, for having too many fights and arguments in their marriage. Before you know it, you're having fights and arguments too. See, when you judge and condemn other people, then you cause a sowing and reaping process to happen in your own life. So how does that apply tonight? Well, tonight we're talking about specifics, how to break the power of cycles. And the reason this could become a cycle, see, is if you never know to repent of being judgmental and condemning other people, then that cycle just goes on and on and on. And you may want to quit fighting and arguing, but you're not able to because you're judgmental. You judge the other person or the other couple for fighting and arguing. Well, then the more you judge them for the strife that's in their lives, the more you strive yourself. And the more you are blind to your part in it. So there's a double whammy there. Say you judge sisters and brothers for striving with each other. Well, the more you accuse them of striving instead of just letting God handle it. Now, you can pray loosing and binding prayers. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I loose you from all that strife and I bind you to the peace and gentleness and cooperation and good problem solving in Jesus. But the more you condemn them for striving, the more you've got it in your own life coming out of your own mouth, and probably you won't even have the insight to know that you're just as bad or worse, because that's how the sowing and reaping cycle works. Another way we need to pray more effectively is to understand that if people are not honoring us, not respecting us, not appreciating us, our gifts, our calling, or our position and authority, if people are not appreciating, respecting you, it's very likely that you have sowed a dishonor or disrespect yourself, because God has the sowing and reaping cycle set up. And if you want to pray effectively for, say your leadership are very hurt because the congregation doesn't respect them like they really should, but maybe they have accused people of being dishonoring and disrespectful to the point where they are now reaping more dishonor and disrespect, and round it goes. And so when I hear people describe their cycles to me and they're saying, well, nobody honors and respects me like they should, I've preached it and preached it, I don't know what's wrong with this church. If it's an ongoing cycle, it's probably that I need to ask that person, have you possibly so dishonor and disrespect yourself? If so, you need to make a list of all the people you have dishonored and disrespected. Back to birth, yes. If you want to really break the power of the cycle, you need to repent yourself so that God can break the cycle, because he wants to. He wants to break that cycle for you. Hallelujah. Of course, you might say, I think the most common thing that blocks our progress in the Christian life and that people need prayer for is their unforgiveness, and you're right. That could be called resentment. It could be called bitterness, but it's some form of unforgiveness. It's probably the first most common thing that we need to learn how to pray through effectively and really break the power of it. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man should fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so what the Bible's saying here is that a root of bitterness can just spring up in you. When you harbor unforgiveness, or you say, I'll forgive next week, when they see how badly they've hurt me, when you harbor resentment. And how do you know? Well, if you're thinking of a specific individual, even while I'm describing this, that's a good indicator that you haven't dealt with all your resentment. And you may say, well, they don't treat me right. You know, they don't love me right. They don't respect me right. And they expect too much, or they're demanding, or whatever. When you harbor this unforgiveness and resentment, bitterness, it hurts you. It prevents your progress. It keeps you from being chosen. It may not harm them at all. But when you sow resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness, then you can pray and pray and pray and pray for more opportunities, for open doors, you know, to be able to fulfill your destiny, etc. But until you break the power of that cycle by repenting of harboring unforgiveness and resentment, then you can pray day and night for an open heaven and open doors and for people to understand your destiny and calling. And it may not ever happen because you need to sow forgiveness, because you are forgiven in the same way the Bible says that you forgive others. Wow. Yeah, it's true. Things don't just come at us out of the blue. Anytime it's a long-standing pattern, I begin to ask people questions to find out if there's a way that they were sowing it themselves. And the good news is we have the power to repent of what we've sowed ourselves. Amen? And then we can be free of the pattern and get on with God's plan and purposes for our life. Woohoo! We've got to learn to discern ourselves. And discern ourselves with honesty and without cutting ourselves slack, you know, and saying, oh, well, God understands. Because that just gives the devil permission to keep the cycle going. In Hebrews 5:14, it says that we become more discerning as we exercise discernment of good and evil. But that's not just of other people. That's in our own lives. And so we just pray, Lord, I want to be able to pray things through effectively and to break the power of them. Help me to discern myself objectively. Then after we've done that, then we'll have a much greater ability to discern others and pray through with them more objectively and in kindness and gentleness. Many times we discern things, but then we become harsh or abrupt or even brutal. And we've got to learn, as 2 Timothy 2:23-26 talks about, if you see someone else caught in a snare, to not, you know, engage in disputes with them, but to learn how to gently show them how to get their foot out of the snare so that the devil won't win, won't keep them entrapped. Hallelujah. So that's how we learn to pray through, not by badgering that person, not by nagging them, not by preaching over and over. Although we're all in personal relationships, and I'm in progress too, but we've got to learn to look at ourselves, discern ourselves first. Because the Bible says in Luke 6:41, "And why do you look at the mote that's in your brother's eye and don't perceive the beam that's in your own eye?" I like the way my husband put it, but it's, I don't know why I have the hardest time remembering exactly how I said it, but it's like, why look at the splinter in someone else's eye if you've got a pulp mill or lumber yard in your own? I like that. But we thank you, Lord. We thank you that if we're open to praying through about the thing, the splinter, the log that's in our own eye, that you will be faithful to show us, that we don't have to go into analysis, we don't have to be sin-focused, we don't have to always be looking for bad things, but that you will show us if there's something we need to see. And then we'll be able to see more clearly, to be able to pray through with others who have splinters in their eyes too. Hallelujah. See, if we have bad fruit on our tree, it's because there's a bad root on our tree. You know, the old saying, you make me mad. Well, that's ridiculous. Now, people can make it more difficult by constantly stepping on our toes and pushing our buttons. But we do have choices, and we can choose to let Jesus respond through us. We don't have to walk in anger with sin. We can be free, and that's one of the things we're talking about tonight, how to pray through and say, God, I've got a problem with not only being angry, but it turning to sin. It turns into resentment, unforgiveness, and wrath. And just to take that to Jesus, say, Jesus, show me where I've sowed it, and now I'm reaping it. Or show me where I dishonored someone else for having anger with sin, or where I might have even had a fleshly inner vow. I'll never have anger within like they do. And in pride, you know, we said that. And Lord, show us where we've sowed it ourselves first, and then we can pray for others far more effectively. Thank you, Lord. Because a good tree, you say, doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit, nor doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Luke 6:43. Luke 6 is full of verses that relate to praying through effectively, because it talks about sometimes you've got to dig a little bit deeper and ask God, what's the root to this? Why do I still have this cycle going on in my life? Or if someone's asked you to pray for them, be sure that you have permission, that you have a measure of rule in their life before you start offering these things, or you'll not only wound them and lose a friend, but you won't have the opportunity to pray. But ask God to give you clear vision to see what the corrupt root is, if there's corrupt root, a fruit on the tree, and he will at the right time. If he doesn't tell you yet, don't rush in with guesses and hurt them. They're wounded already. Another thing that I alluded to was that there can be fleshly inner vows where in our pride we've said, well, I'll never be like you. I'll never be like my father. I'll never be like my mother. Or I'll always do it this way. I'll always be in control. You know, I'll always have the upper hand. I'll always this, that, and the other. What's wrong with those fleshly inner vows? Well, it's because it's not done in the power of the Spirit. We need to just simply say, I choose to be Spirit-led. I don't use many sentences anymore that say, I will. It's too easy for those to go into inner vows. And the Bible says, don't vow. Just be led of the Spirit. Just be led of the Spirit. And Galatians 6:7 says, don't deceive yourself. God isn't mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And I had an opportunity to speak to the Counselors Association in Tallahassee, Florida, and I explained the importance of sowing and reaping. And most everybody's heard of that, but they had not necessarily seen how it applies to counseling. And I said, if somebody is in a reaping cycle because they have sowed something, you can counsel them. You can use every tool that you've learned with your PhD. You can pull out everything that's worked in the past from your experience. But if they do not repent and break the power of what they've sowed, then that sowing and reaping cycle will not be broken, no matter how many PhDs you've got. Amen? Excuse me. The way that a lot of these cycles get started in the first place is with brokenheartedness. The Bible's clear, you know, that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And God has sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we can not only be set free but healed, especially of brokenheartedness. Jesus knows your pain and your shame and all the wounds and the tears that you shed. And he wants to set you free. But we have to be open enough to bring those things to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, I'm just not all healed yet. I want to be a healed person that can pray through with others and see them set free. But I need some more healing myself. And when you do that, then Jesus is able to take those things. He died to take your rejection and your hurt and your shame. All of those things, he died to take them, and he will. If you'll just focus your eyes on Jesus, look into his face in the spiritual realm, and say, Jesus, show me what you can do today to take this pain, for this rejection, for this brokenheartedness, and give me a whole heart that can be one with you and effective in praying for others. He'll do it. He'll do it. It's good to have pen and paper in hand because he may give you quite a list or insights to pray over. But like the Bible says, if there's still corrupt fruit on your tree, don't be looking at the roots on somebody else's tree. It's the roots on your tree if the fruit on your tree is corrupt. And as you know, this status can change from day to day, week to week. You may be doing fine today and be hit with a big temptation tomorrow, and that fruit start coming out. Another area is that when we've got a rift with people, we also have a rift with God. So sometimes when you're trying to pray through with somebody, it seems like they have forgiven people. But maybe what's still lacking, even if they're in true repentance, is that what they haven't mentioned is that they have a rift with God because of it. You know, why did you let those people hurt me? Why didn't you cause them to choose me? Why didn't you provide so that I could do what I wanted to do? You know, why didn't you open the door for the path that I had chosen? And when we have a rift with God, it might be something we're not conscious of. We might have only been conscious of our need to forgive the people involved. Also, we might need to forgive ourselves. But always be aware, if people have a rift with other people, you haven't finished praying for them until you ask more questions, find out if there's any possibility that they blamed God a little bit, questioned him, doubted him, of why he let the situation happen in the first place. Where were you when I needed you? Why didn't you heal me sooner or provide sooner or give me the insight that I needed so I didn't make this mistake? And I know that I had been in a state of blaming God for like 5 years because I did not take responsibility for a choice that I had made. And that choice was interfering with my ability to hear God anyway. If God had said more, I wouldn't have heard it. And he probably did. And I didn't hear it clearly because I wasn't taking responsibility for my own choices. You have to be aware of this when you're praying for people. Sometimes they want to only focus on the other person's sin and are not willing to focus on their part in the situation. Therefore, they're not in true repentance, and they're not getting the freedom that they want because they're only focusing on the other person's part. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we know. That's common. We need to realize that there's often several ways that a situation needs prayer before that person can get free. So when you're praying through, you're not just praying over one side of it or one aspect of it. In fact, it might be all of the above, everything I've mentioned so far. That's why I want you to write these verses down. So, we need to choose to hold our hearts open to God, to have a pure heart, like in Psalm 51:10, to create in us a pure heart before we go and pray for others. I realize that none of us are perfect. We're all in progress. But the lamp of the Lord does search the spirit of a man if we'll allow it. That's in Proverbs 20:27. Of course, that's indicating. It doesn't just say searches the soul of a man. It says searches the spirit of a man. It's interesting how the Bible says there can be filthiness of soul and spirit. I don't want to get to a theological debate with you, but that's what the Word says. And so, without being analytic and doing a lot of navel gazing, we can give God permission to search our spirit and see if there's a root in us that needs to be dealt with. And then this is how we pray for others too. We say, Lord, we want the light of Jesus on this situation to show us if there are spiritual roots need to be dealt with, because we want your comfort. We don't want to just fool ourselves. Proverbs 20:27, the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But if the pattern is going on and on and on, it's not God's fault. Amen. Jesus came to take our infirmities, to carry our sorrows, and to forgive our sins, and to take the punishment that we should have had on himself. But we have to ask for forgiveness in order to really take advantage of that. Amen? And then we can choose to live in God's wisdom, and our soul, spirit, and body will be in good health. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You know I'm claiming that one. Made a lot of big mistakes in the past. It's the woman at the well. And I'm still tempted these days, and I guess we're always tempted till we pass on to the other side. But if we will humbly receive ministry, that's another thing. Many people want to be free, but they won't admit it to another person. And I don't know why, but the Bible clearly says if you confess your sins one to another, and also as you pray for others, ye yourselves are healed. That's in James 5. The Lord has set it up so that we need each other. We need to be humble before each other. And then Romans 12:2, that we won't conform any longer to the pattern of. So that's what I'm saying. If you've got a pattern in your life, or if you're praying for someone that's got a pattern, we're not talking about one-time sins here. We're talking about patterns, cycles, downward spirals. He says you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But as Romans 12 is talking about, there are things that need to be laid down on the altar. Your right to get even, or your right to be understood, or your right to whatever. Just lay it all down on the altar. Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Anxiety and worry is usually about assuming responsibility that's not yours. Therefore, you're all anxious, and what we need to do is be like little children. Just turn it over to God, say, we know you're in control, you always have been, you always will be. We know you have our best interest at heart, and we know that the devil is never in charge, and that you are working everything out for our good. And then we can minister to others from that place of confidence. But I'll tell you what can happen. If you are in a place of self-pity, thinking God didn't watch out for you, then when somebody else comes to you for prayer, and they want sympathy, and they want you to agree that God just hasn't blessed them like he should, and he doesn't bless them like he does other people, you'll both be in self-pity, and you're building a stronghold together. This we don't want. We have to cast our anxiety on him, and we have to choose to trust God that he handles things perfectly. And we just need to be more patient, to trust his timing, and to find out what his priorities are for that day and get aligned with him. Amen? Because what does it profit us if we get our way on everything and gain the whole world but lose our own soul? Matthew 16:26. What are we going to give in exchange for that? How foolish can we be? But if we will revere his name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. And this is what we like to talk about, just resting before the Lord and asking him to bring his light into our soul and spirit, even into our body, and show us what's happening there and how to pray. Show us, Lord, what's happening in our soul, that we won't be the last to know, that we'll know. And then we can come, as James 5:16 says, and confess our sins to each other, pray for each other, and we're both healed. Amen? We pray through effectively for them and ourselves. And we can ask in faith and nothing wavering, because we're not in self-pity. We're not blaming God. We're not in denial, not defending ourselves. We're letting the light of Jesus give us true discernment for ourselves and them. Why do I keep emphasizing both ways? Well, a good prayer minister has to be willing to confess the sin in their own life first. And while we're all in progress and none of us sees all our blind spots, we have to be willing. And then sometimes if we just don't see it, God will bring a mirror along. He'll bring somebody along that needs prayer, that has the same ongoing pattern or sin that we have. And then we can see it in them, and then the Holy Spirit's able to say, well, actually, you have that too. While you're praying for them, you can pray for yourself. You can pray for each other. Hallelujah. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them spiritual power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9:1-2. However, sometimes you feel like you have that spiritual power and authority, and sometimes not, right? And that can be because the Holy Spirit has brought or is bringing something to mind and saying, this pattern has gone on too long. You blame it on the other person. You justify it. You try to say it's normal. You say, I should cut you more slack. But Jesus says, what I want to do is set you free. I want to set you free. And yes, you can walk in the Spirit. And yes, you can walk in that love, joy, peace, and gentleness, and humility, and have that self-control. And if you've been saying, well, other people can have self-control, but I can't, it just doesn't work for me, that's a lie. And that's where you can start tonight. You can deny and deny and deny, but you might as well confess that as sin, because there is no sin and no cycle so great that Jesus cannot set you free. Maybe you just enjoy getting mad, you know? I used to enjoy having a meltdown. And now I've learned that that's not too good. It would just wear me out, get me out of fellowship with God, and I'm more powerless than ever. So what Jesus wants to do is to have you walking in his power and authority. He wants to live the life through you, but you've got to be willing to bring everything to him that blocks that oneness. And let him take it. He died to take it. You've got to choose to let him take it. Hallelujah. It will work. The Christian life does work. But we've got to be convinced of it ourselves before we can pray effectively for others. Really? Yes, really. So in John 14:12-15. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. There's the key right there at the end. How is it that some people seem to be able to ask for anything in Jesus' name and get it? Well, there's the key. If you love me, if you'll obey me, if you'll do what I command, not in your own strength, but let me do it through you, then you're synchronized. You're in harmony. you know what God desires, and your prayers are just praying what God desires already. You're letting God pray his own prayer through you. So your prayer is already in agreement with him, therefore it's already guaranteed an answer, positive answer. Hallelujah. See, Christ in us wants to minister through us, not just the way he ministered 2,000 years ago, but even in greater work, greater and greater and greater. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he also says greater works. Hallelujah. So Jesus founded the church. He founded the fivefold office calls to equip the church, and I encourage you, whether you're a fivefold minister yourself or not, to ask God for a mentor. You can contact us or someone locally, and they don't have to be locally, but get a mentor that will speak clearly into your life. And when you are able to humble yourself and tell them the situations that you have, that you will be able to trust them, you'll be able to build a relationship and let them hear God and to speak back to you to say, is this a pattern? Is this a sinful reaction? Is it longstanding? Do you believe that Jesus can set you free? Do you want Jesus to set you free? Do you want us to pray now and pray through? And you take responsibility. Are you willing to ask forgiveness five ways? Not only to forgive them of their part in it, but to ask God to forgive you for what you've sown or who you've dishonored or judged or for not forgiving yourself or for blaming God. You know, are you willing to pray through on all sides of this? Yes, that's what will get us there. And so then signs and wonders will follow you. Mark 16, 17 through 18 talks about. Then you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and pray for deliverance for others, and it'll work. But we have got to keep short accounts with God and say, God, I want to pray through on my own stuff first. So we can choose to invite the Holy Spirit to operate in all his gifts through us. You don't have just one gift. If you've got the Holy Spirit, you've probably got the whole bunch. There's only one gift that I know of that God has never operated in through me, and I was just testing it again Sunday to see if he wanted to. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, there's a whole list of spiritual gifts, and there are even more, I believe, like missions, for instance, is a spiritual gift. There are many. And you can give the Holy Spirit freedom to operate through you in any gift, in every gift. You can choose to be the spiritual one first. And this is what's hard sometimes. Sometimes when we have difficulties and situations and conflicts with other people, we want them to be the spiritual one first, right? But 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. See, that right there would cure most of our relationships if we would say and declare and decree each day, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. I like the way the King James puts that. It doesn't say they're opposing you or opposing God. First of all, when you sin and have cycles of sin, you're opposing yourself. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So we have to acknowledge the truth. The truth is I have a part in this. Or the truth is I'm not going to be able to pray effectively with you until I can see the splinter in my eye. And then we can recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil. And then we won't be taken captive, and we can pray and see the captives set free. There are many other scriptures. There's quite a few in Luke 6 and some in Isaiah 61 and Matthew 4 where Jesus was giving, you know, us the pattern of saying, it is written, you know, and to keep declaring truth until we get the insights we need. Luke 10, Luke 9, these are chapters that are full of what the disciples did as they began to walk all this out. So we're not talking about being sin-focused here. We're just talking about when the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I see that you're pointing out corrupt fruit on my tree, and I'm willing to see the corrupt root as well. I want to be free, Lord. I want to be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I was just realizing I forgot to set up the chat room tonight, but I'm going to open it up right now. Or is it? And allow you to join us. I encourage you to call in with questions. There it is. Call in with questions, 917-388-4683. I would love to hear some questions tonight because, you know, if one person calls in a question, there's always 1,000 others that have the same question. And, you know, these programs go into the archives, so you would actually be helping other people get the answer for years to access the archive. But call in with questions about how to pray specifically about things. Now, I don't mean a long, drawn-out story. I mean, like, how do you pray specifically to break the power of lust or break the power of pride or, you know, something like that? Because we pretty much all are tempted in the same ways. Even Jesus was tempted like as we are. It's just knowing how to apply what Christ has done for us. That's all we need. The specifics to the story really don't usually change the prayer that much. You know, it's just different people that we need to forgive and different circumstances that we need to let go of, and Jesus takes pain away. But he will redeem us. He will. He'll take the pain away, and we'll be left with more wisdom and more anointing for having gone through it. Hallelujah. Okay, we're ready to take callers now, or if you'd like to put a question in the chat room, I'll try to notice that too. One of these days, God's going to give me a co-host again, and I won't have to juggle all these things myself, but I do my best. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of hearing your voice and sharing it with others. So please call in 917-388-4683, or if you need prayer to break the power of something, if you'd like to know how to pray to break the power of something, please call in. Right now we have several callers, and what you do is you just push number one and let us know that you have a question, or you may have a testimony. You may have a testimony of a way that God has worked in your life through something you heard on one of the programs, or we'd like it to be, you know, related to what we're talking about, the testimony, or how God has worked through you to pray for someone else. We'd love to hear those. We'd love to hear testimonies. The Bible says we overcome. One way is by the word of our testimony. So we'd like you to push number one, and whether you need prayer, whether you'd like to know how to pray for someone else, or whether you have a testimony about how prayer has worked. I believe that last week's program of testimonies and people sharing was far more interesting, at least it was to me, far more interesting to hear how God is really intervening in lives today and how he's really working through us, and to hear practical stories. On the other hand, now if nobody needs any prayer tonight, you know, that's okay too. We've got several callers. I'll give you a few more minutes. Does anyone want prayer to know how to pray for someone else, how to apply the word in a specific situation? Please push number one now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, that the blood hasn't lost its power, that you didn't die just to shed your blood so that we could be forgiven for the same sins over and over and over, that you died on the cross so that we could take the whole pattern to the cross and ask you to bring the whole pattern, the downward spiral, the cycle, to death. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you died so that if we'll admit to it, we can bring it to you and say, Lord, please bring the whole cycle to death. Well, here's one faithful and true listener that's going to bail me out here. We thank you, Lord. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling. Somebody
oh, I'm so glad to be able to call. Oh, I like to talk, but but I'm going to I do have some questions concerning how to pray concerning certain issues. I was thinking today, because I know that your program is coming up, I've noticed some young women in my life that have been affected by, I believe, abuse, but it's basically being hidden. They're not sharing what they've gone through, and they're going through a lot of infirmity. And I've also noticed with one young lady, I saw her tonight, basically. She has just changed just very drastically, and her dress very revealing. And I want to know, how do I pray for these young women? How do I minister to them?
Yeah, it sounds like you're describing more than one thing. You're suspecting a history of abuse, but it seems to be coming
out. Actually, one young lady basically was my neighbor that lived next door to me, and her mother
had
shared
with me. Don't give away who it is now.
Okay. Her mother had shared with me that the neighbor that lived on the other side of me had raped her, and I had asked her if she had gone to her church in order to receive ministry, and she said that there was no ministry, basically, in the church in order to help, you know, her daughter. And that's one situation. There's another situation.
In that situation, let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
She's a survivor of rape, is what you're saying?
Yes.
And had not received any ministry. I want to point people to some resources first, because that's a big subject and a very important one. Thank you for being brave enough to bring that up. If people will go to nowfaith.tv, our ministry training school site, that's www.nowfaith, one word, .tv, it's not .com, it's .tv. If they'll go there, there's a search box at the top, and if they'll put, they might be able to get it by putting in rape, but if they'll put sexual contact or unwanted sexual contact or healing from sexual sin, there are several audios, and two of them that I'm thinking of, Valerie, are where I interviewed professionals that are in that area of ministry to people that have had unwanted sexual contact, whether it was more molestation or rape, incest or whatever, and they cover the gamut. And it's two different programs. Then there's another program in our basic school on ministry to common sexual sin. That doesn't mean they're good or it doesn't mean it's okay. It just means they're the more common ones, like when little children might molest each other as children when they're playing doctor. It doesn't mean they were actually
right.
But if people will use that search box and put in the keywords, just put in several keywords so you find the one that fits your needs, you'll see that there's probably an hour-long teaching already on each aspect of those, with a written prayer and with notes that are already written. And these are good things to keep in a ministry notebook. We are going to go ahead and pray tonight, but it's good to have those resources there because, you know, all of us want to know how to pray and love, and we don't want to be fumbling through and saying the wrong things. And so if I had a friend that had suffered rape, I would probably review this myself before I was going to meet with them and make sure that I was sensitive in as many ways as I could be to the Holy Spirit and to them.
Right.
Because they're lies, as you know, that the devil will come in and say, well, you'll never get over this. You're always going to be fearful. You're never going to be able to go out again without looking over your shoulder. Or lies about the opposite sex, or lies about their future, because you're not going to have a future because you're always going to be fearful now.
Right.
And so I would ask them questions and listen to them for as long, good long time, and find out what the list is, the list of hurt, but especially, now you're good at this, Mallory, but everybody needs to listen to the lies that the enemy was able to embed, to lodge in their heart because of this trauma. So in the name of Jesus,
yeah,
we'll just pray as if she's listening right now, but I believe it'll do some good even though she's not. In the name of Jesus, we pray to break the power of trauma, spirit of trauma.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, we just break the power of it and say, you are broken. You're of the devil and from the devil, and there's nothing like going to be normal about it in her life. We break the power of the lies that says she has to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And we speak to her heart and give her permission to bring these things not only to the Lord, but to believe that there is effective ministry. And God will connect her with you or someone to have effective ministry. We break the power of the lies that even Jesus doesn't heal things that are this big.
Yes.
And we speak the truth that Jesus died to take every hurt and does it effectively, and that through this ministry that the pain will be gone.
Yes.
And that she will have twice the anointing and the spiritual power and authority to minister to others because of what she went through. It doesn't mean she'll forget it. It doesn't mean that she won't be hypervigilant sometimes, but this will not control her life.
Yes.
That she will have victory over it. And we speak to her an understanding when she has the ministry and the, whoever ministers to her.
Yes.
She'll have an understanding of the importance of, even though she was the victim, clearly, and nobody's going to blame her. Even women who begin to dress seductively, they need to take responsibility for that, but it still doesn't mean that they're responsible for what the rapist chose to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're never responsible for the other person's sin. So, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of the lies.
Yes.
We break the power of the captivity that Satan would want to bring into her life. But we also speak to her the personal insight to know that she needs to ask forgiveness for any lies that she has believed, for any condemnation that she has spoken. She needs to turn this person over to God and let him handle it. She needs to forgive herself if she has not forgiven herself for giving into fear and intimidation, for instance, for years. And she needs to ask God to forgive her if she has blamed him for it happening. And then if she has some sin on her own part, to ask forgiveness for that. That's just seven or eight ways. But actually, almost everything that I listed in the teaching part might apply to her. You just have to take enough history to find out.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, I saw her.
Help?
Yes, it does. Yes, I saw her today, and because I she used to live beside me, and I knew my heart of hearts that Jesus wanted to bring healing to what she had gone through. I just did not have the training to know how to minister to her.
Well, that's why the Elijah House School put together that school. And why I just kept building on it and adding more and more subjects, because this is a huge subject. There's a great need to know how to pray in this area. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Yes, it is so important, Prophet Carlotta, because so oftentimes even in the church, when we have women that come into the church, a lot of times too, we do not know how to minister to victims of sexual abuse, and there are two young women that I suspect have gone through sexual abuse, but it's being hidden. They're going through a lot of infirmity, and the doctor can't figure out why the root of their sickness. And I just feel like there's a lot of hiddenness, and they're not dealing with the root.
Now, when you fan the subject out to be sexual abuse rather than rape itself,
yes, I believe it was
about half
the
population now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we have a homepage for survivors of abuse of all kinds, because this is at least one out of four women and at least one out of seven men, and probably many more that don't admit to it. And sexual abuse is just so huge. If you do a study of what is searched for the most time on the internet, keywords that are searches, sexual abuse is one of the biggest ones, especially child sexual abuse, incest, molestation. And every minister, prayer minister of any kind, man or woman, needs to know how to pray for someone, because you just can't minister very long without needing to pray for people that are survivors of abuse.
Yes. That is so true, Prophet Carlotta.
So if you look at crosswalklife.com, that's our other biggest site, crosswalklife.com, and look in the search box there, and put in child abuse, sexual abuse, survivors of abuse, any of those key words, you'll come up with probably at least a dozen articles there.
Yes.
Same
right.
thing on nowfaith.tv. You'll find audios on survivors of abuse. And that would also include the effects of abuse, whether it's dissociation, whether it's developing multiple personalities as a way to survive and contain the pain. And there's other helpful articles like denial, because sometimes all a person can do is deny it, pretend it didn't happen, but it's waiting there to explode, you know.
Right.
Explode on somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just think that it's just so important to be trained and to be equipped in order to minister, because it is just very, very common. And I believe God wants us to be effective ministers, able ministers, to minister to whomever He brings into our path in order to for them to receive the healing.
And you know, it's so perfect that you brought this up first, because as ministers, we always want to be sensitive. We want to offer that comfort. But in the case even of an extreme victim, like rape or sexual abuse, where there's no way that little child was responsible for what happened to them, if they're running around naked, you know, that doesn't excuse
right.
the adult's behavior.
Right.
But we still can have sinful reactions, and so we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us to know how to bring them to a place of forgiving the other person, yes, but if we take a history and listen to them enough to have pen and paper there to write down what their sinful reaction was. Because, see, your stronghold is made up of your sinful reaction, not theirs.
Uh-huh.
And that's good news, because if somebody molested me as a child, it would be terrible if they could erect a stronghold in my life that I could never get rid of. I don't want to give them that much power. I have to forgive them eventually and turn them over to God. Not saying that what they did was right, but just turn them over to God for Him to deal with them. But I also have to ask forgiveness for my sinful reactions, because if I excuse hatred and bitterness and wrath and vengeance, retaliation and all this on my part, then I feel the stronghold in my life.
Yes.
What was the other thing that you wanted to talk about?
The other thing that I wanted to talk about was how to, I think it goes right in line with what you're saying, is with forgiveness. I found basically where I've had an incident where family members basically they wanted to do something all along, but they lied about it and they were hiding, basically. And it really hurt, but I knew that I had to forgive. And I don't know, they have kind of distanced themselves, and I'm just wondering, how do I reestablish relationship? Because basically there's a hiddenness of, well, we really did what we wanted to do, and we basically, I was manipulated and controlled, basically, because they basically had wanted to do something all along, although they had asked me to take part in a family event that they wanted to do, but they basically had unforgiveness toward another family member and didn't want that other family member to take part in basically a celebration that we were going to have. So I had told them that they needed to forgive, and then they did something where I needed to forgive them basically for shutting me out, basically, because they basically didn't want to forgive, but they said, well, we'll forgive this family member, and basically they invited the family member, but they basically had manipulated and controlled basically the situation where basically they just lied to me, Prophet Kola.
Uh-huh. So are they wanting prayer? Do they want freedom?
They, Prophet Carlotta, there's just a pattern, basically, of where they hide things. They're not truthful. We're trying to find out what's going on, you know, in their lives, and they won't be upfront with me. They won't tell me the truth. And I've talked to them about the Lord wanting to bring healing and freedom to them, and they're not wanting it at all.
Well, that's the first question. Do they want freedom? And if they don't, then how to pray? So what we can differentiate here between a Jezebel witchcraft prayer that would pray against their will, and yet a prayer that would pray like loosing and binding prayers, things that we know are the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to give the example, for instance, if they were trying to get their way and they want,
mm-hmm,
they want the pastor to break up with his wife so that they could marry the pastor, then that's definitely a Jezebel prayer, praying against somebody's will. That's something that's not God's will and just what they want. You know, and they're not repentant. But on the other hand, if we can pray for them loosing and binding prayers that are definitely God's will, and there's no danger of us trying to be controlling and manipulative too.
Mm-hmm.
So in the name of Jesus, the word loose in that particular context actually means to lacerate or destroy. In the name of Jesus, we can loose them from that denial and control.
Yes.
Self-deception and deceiving,
yes,
other people and all that.
Okay.
And in the name of Jesus, we can bind them, because bind means bind in that case,
yes,
but it means bind to good things.
Yes.
We can bind them to being led of the Spirit, being,
yes,
submitted to God, and being,
yes,
honest and transparent,
yes,
and to spiritual prayers rather than witchcraft control.
Yes. Amen.
I would like to point people to crosswalklife.com again, and on the search box type in 40-day prayer strategy, and that's a good example of a way to pray for family members and people that are close to you about the 10 most common strongholds, and it's things just like this, just as common as this, where they might be living in doubt or fear, and they just try to control everything, or maybe they're just power hungry, but it's all written out with half a dozen verses for each one. I'm sure control is one of them. You know, how to pray for family members in situations where they're really not asking for your prayer.
Right. Exactly. Amen. This has been so great, Prophet Carlotta. Thank you so much.
Well, that 40-day prayer strategy is actually our most popular thing on the website because so many people have at least one person in their family and nobody knows what to do with them, and they won't admit what they're doing, and you don't really know how to pray for them because all the while you're being tempted to get into unforgiveness and resentment yourself dealing with them.
Right.
We can have boundaries. You know, we don't have to let people control and manipulate us. We can have boundaries. And I have said to people, you know, many a time, if you just ask me directly, then I'll consider your request, but you don't have to manipulate and try to control me and make me do it.
Right.
Just tell them.
Right. Exactly. How do I restore relationship with them? Because basically they're basically hiding. It's like, well, you know, I've done. We've gotten what we wanted, basically. So now there's no communication whatsoever. Because
so it's going to be one-sided the way it looks, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, this may not be the right answer, but there's been many a time when the first thing we had to do was let go. And I'm talking about myself and my husband, too. We just had to let go because they don't want relationships.
Right.
And turn it over to God and rest in God's timing that He will open up, open doors at the right time. You know, maybe they get in a tight place and then they need you and they need your prayers. But
right.
We have to also not gloat when they call and ask for prayer finally, like, oh, now
right.
you need me, you know. We can't do
right.
that. We have to turn it over to God and know that if they truly don't want relationship with us, that He will show us little things that we can do to sow a tiny seed here and there to keep the door open. And I remember I had to pass on what somebody put on Facebook a couple days ago, that if somebody's just bound and determined to keep throwing stones at you,
mm-hmm.
you have a choice still of whether to make it into a wall or a bridge.
Right.
And I think as we get older sometimes too, some of the family relationships are closer and some aren't. And we just kind of have to let go, but I'm challenged by this, you know, to still send an occasional card or make an occasional call, even if they don't really welcome your calls that much. Still let them know that the door is open on my side.
Right. Exactly. That is awesome advice, Prophet Carlotta. And that's what I've just been wondering, you know, do I basically just, you know, let them know that I'm still here?
Right.
If they want to call. Uh-huh. But also,
right. You can remember their birthday or their events, or you know, you can do those things that let them know that you're not holding hardness of heart toward them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
And make sure you're not. You know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because I haven't really allowed God to deal with the hurt. I was just really hurt by them doing what they did. And just continuing to pray and to forgive and just as an act of my will, just continuing to forgive, you know, and praying for them. Yep, I just continue to pray.
Another question, too, that I think goes right along with this is some of the listeners are probably thinking, of what if family members and close people that were close friends and now they're not or whatever, what if they're willing to get together with you, but they're not really interested in anything that you're interested in, especially your spiritual beliefs? And my answer to that is just enjoy them. If they're willing to get together, if they don't want to hear anything that's important to you, just enjoy them. Because there's a lot to be said for just loving people and letting Christ's love speak for itself. You know, you don't have to be a witness of words. You can be a witness through service or just being together or being loyal or being for them or inspiring them. I think everybody likes to hear encouraging words about their future or their potential.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Great. Yes, I had jury duty today, and I was sitting beside a gentleman, and I said, well, Lord, I was thinking, I said, you know, what can I say to this gentleman as we're waiting, basically, here, and I didn't know what to say to him, didn't know how to just kind of strike up a conversation with him while, you know, he was, you know, sitting there beside me.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because maybe you don't know the person, but you have, compassion in your heart for them, because Christ is compassionate through you. Like, just yesterday, we were in a restaurant, so I just asked the Lord if he had a word for our server, and he said, ask her if she enjoys music. Not for those of you that like to test the waters with a question, I still do that after, 20 years of prophesying. I still do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if she really enjoyed music, and she said, yes, I sing all the time. And I said, well, I hear the Lord pretty well for other people, and I think I hear the Lord saying, I try not to be like, thus saith the Lord, you have to do this. But I said, I hear the Lord saying that he created you to be a little worshiper of him. And before I could even finish, she said, you're going to make me start crying right here in front of the whole big table full of people. And I said, why? What's to cry about? She said, oh, that is so awesome, or something like that. That God created me to be a worshiper. And she wasn't really dressed like a super spiritual person. She's a beautiful girl. But God was pointing out how he created her to be.
Right.
You know, how he sees her future. And hopefully, whatever's been blocking that she will see there's still hope. And so I just encourage everybody to believe that no seed is too small. If God just gives you one little question and one little comment, that was one question, one comment, to make to a person to know that he will water and fertilize and multiply that seed. You don't have to spell out their whole life to them.
That is so good. That is awesome.
And so many times people may not prophesy because they only get one sentence or two. But I think, that's good. Just say the part she was already about to cry, she said, quit while you're ahead. If that's all you get, don't make anything up. Just give
it. That is so good. It's really good. I was in service on Sunday morning, and lady came up and said that she was just really glad to see me, and she said, I prayed for her. She was moving that Sunday before, and so she and her husband had moved everything in, and she said that she had been having some pain in her back, and I had actually had been having pain in my back, but I grabbed her hand, and I prayed for her back, and I prayed for my back. And just asked the Lord to bring creative miracles. She said that she had some herniated disc in her back. And just released faith for healing for her and for myself as well, healing. And I'm just believing that God is doing the work. He is doing the creative, part. And all I have to do is just release faith and believe that he will do it.
Well, it looks like that line's getting too much static on it. You can either call back in or we'll let it go. But you made one more point. Every point you make has been good. What was it now? I got distracted by the static.
just praying for a lady who's having problems with her back, herniated disc. And
that God will... Here it is. I knew you had made a great point that sometimes people will say, well, I can't pray for them and their back because my back's hurting, so I'm healed, I can't pray for them. No, the principle that we shared tonight from the scripture is that pray for others and you yourself will be healed too. So don't let the devil hold you back. Do like Valerie did, and if God brings you somebody that's got the same problem you do, don't be intimidated. Know that God wants you to pray for them, and you yourself will be healed too.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Great example.
Amen.
Well, tell you
Amen.
What, Valerie, I have enjoyed every point you have made. We do have another caller right now, so why don't I take them, and then if nobody else has anything after that, you can call back again.
Okay.
Or you can push on
right.
again.
Okay.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks.
God bless you. I enjoyed all of those. That is just, you know, you may have guessed that Valerie's one of our alumni, and we just love hearing from the Lord and love hearing how He wants to live through us to bless other people. We just thank you, Lord, that you even would think of living through us to bless other people, and we thank you that you're working in our lives and their lives at the same time, and that there's always something in it for everybody. Amen. Okay, let's try this caller, area code 813. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. This is Flossie.
This is Flossie?
Yes, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Where are you from, Flossie?
From Tampa.
Tampa. Okay,
yes.
I don't believe we've spoken before.
No, I don't think we have. I'm not sure.
Do you have a comment or question or...
Yes, I have a question. My question is, how do you know when that God has forgiven you for certain things that you do in your life or certain feelings that you have, and you let me say it like this: when you've been in ministries and you've dealt with certain people in ministries, and they have come up against you, or they have did things to hurt you, and you ask God to forgive you for feeling angry towards the people,
mm-hmm.
and you repent from it, but at the same time, it keeps turning to like a pattern, you know, like you were saying.
Okay.
It keeps you... you say you let it go, you pray that it's gone, you have felt that you've been delivered from it, but when you deal with certain, I'll say, males in the ministry, and it keeps happening, and then you feel that it's done, but at the same time it happens again. How do you handle those situations?
It's like the cycle just keeps going on with them or with somebody else, but it's still the same cycle pretty much.
Yes.
Okay, that's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Thank you very much. If the cycle seems to be going on, not a one or two time thing, then it is the right time to ask God these questions. First of all, do you have something where you can write this down? I'll give you a series of possible answers.
Yes, I do.
On our main website, which is one word, crosswalklife.com, if you would put in the search box the crosswalk prayer, that's the prayer that I've been quoting tonight, where you ask God, is this a pattern? Seems to be a pattern. You know, did I sow it myself? Did I judge them with condemnation? Did I dishonor them? Did I make a fleshly inner vow, and now, you know, that I wouldn't be that way in my own strength, and now I am? The crosswalk prayer is where you ask yourself, are there areas where I have not asked forgiveness yet? That's why I don't feel totally forgiven. And it helps you to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, did I judge them? Did I sow it? Did I make a prideful inner vow? I could never be like them. You know, did I disrespect them? Whatever. And then you can find out why you feel like in some way you haven't taken full responsibility, or some way you didn't ask forgiveness for every part of your part in it. And you won't be just doing analysis with your own mind. You'll be asking the Holy Spirit. Then he can show you, well, yes, you wanted to forgive them and you did ask forgiveness for this, but you were also maybe very judgmental and condemning, or you were very prideful about it, or you were very dishonoring to them, and you need to ask forgiveness for that part too. Then you can be totally forgiven. Does that make sense?
Yes. I have went to several of them and have approached them and brought it to their attention that they have hurt me. And they denied hurting me.
Okay, now this is the opposite. That is, I want you to hear the difference.
Okay.
On one hand, we're talking about you forgiving them.
Right.
Or them asking you to forgive them. But those aren't the things that the crosswalk prayer is about. If you look at the crosswalk prayer, it's about the areas where you had a sinful reaction to their sin. And these are areas where even though they were wrong and you had to forgive them, now the focus is not on them anymore.
Okay.
For this part of your question tonight, how do I know if I have been completely forgiven?
Right.
Then you look at the crosswalk prayer and say, Lord, the pattern hasn't stopped.
Okay.
Is it because I haven't asked forgiveness for all the ways that I had a sinful reaction to them?
Okay.
And I didn't like this prayer at first because I just wanted to focus on what they had done to me. But when you aren't sure that forgiveness is complete, it's usually because you didn't know that you had to ask forgiveness for dishonoring them or judging them or having a prideful inner vow, or maybe so that yourself. Maybe they were critical and you hated how critical they were, but you began to be critical back.
Right.
So when you read that prayer, then you can hear the answer to your question tonight is, am I not totally forgiven because there's some areas that I haven't asked forgiveness that were on my part?
Right. Okay.
And it's tough. Again, it's like Valerie's question. When somebody's been raped, it's tough to talk about that they're still responsible not to have a sinful reaction. I mean, they may not be able to confess that right away, but they can't let their whole life go by and still be in hatred. You know, eventually you've got to confess your hatred for that person and get past it.
So on my part, I can say the things that they have done, I want to say I have forgiven them, but maybe deep inside, if I go back and keep thinking about it, then I question myself and say, did I really forgive them? Even if I went to them and approached them and told them that I forgive them for what they have done to me, and regardless if they admitted that they did or not, I still felt that I had to forgive them. But at the same time, when I look at the picture, if I look at it in the natural, I see them doing well. I see them still going forth, even in the midst of the hurt that they made towards me. So how do I handle that? I feel like I need to release a lot of that so I can go forward.
Right.
Because I don't want to be at a standstill. I want to be able to speak to someone else about my situation and not hold bitterness, not feel the bitterness or the hurt or the pain. I want to be able to heal someone else by my testimony, but in the right way.
let me ask you some questions. You don't have to answer them on the air. Okay. I'll just give you an example, okay?
Whoops. Okay.
I'm trying to access this on the internet right quick.
Okay.
What happens is, and you can write this down, please.
Okay.
Satan has a plan to separate you by what other people do to you. So you've got to see it from the bird's eye view. You know, back up a little bit and see the big picture. His plan is to separate you from people, from God, and even from yourself by causing you to have sinful reactions to other people's sin. He wants you to focus on their part in it, so you will never get free. He doesn't want you to see that you had a sinful reaction, and now you have a stronghold. So I want to read you just a few questions from my Tearing Down Strongholds course, and it's a test yourself for bitterness. Don't answer any of this out loud. Everybody will be... Everybody
yes,
is comfortable with this one. So
yes, I understand.
I can, since we don't have this plethora of callers tonight, you guys are bringing up the main questions on the planet, so let's just go ahead and deal with it thoroughly. This is just one page out of 70 on Tearing Down Strongholds in my manual on the subject. And here's how you test yourself to see if you still have bitterness in your life and still need more forgiveness.
Okay.
If you get a positive, you know, if you're guilty of a number of these things, then yes, please write down what they were. So it won't escape you.
Right.
And here's a bunch of questions. Does my unforgiveness, resentment, or bitterness hurt anyone? Because a lot of times we think, well, yeah, I'm still struggling with it. It's not hurting anybody. Do I have to forgive before they truly repent? Was the door opened to this stronghold by the sinful way that I reacted? When they sinned and I reacted, did I minister death to them? There's a verse that says, are you ministering, you know, are you ministering life or death? Well, sometimes we want to minister death to the other person.
That's true.
Did we enjoy ministering death? Did I proclaim, did I claim my personal rights? You know, instead of being humble before God, you know, I have a right to hate them. Does my bitterness imprison them in the very behavior I hated? What that means is when we accuse people and judge them, see, the more a wife says, my husband is lazy, good for nothing, well, the more she's given the devil power to make him lazy, good for nothing. So when we constantly accuse and condemn people by saying they're this, that, and the other, then we're actually agreeing with the devil and increasing his power to imprison them. And then we complain that they're still prisoners.
Uh-huh.
We've got to either speak life over them or death.
Yeah.
Are you unhappy to see him or her when they approach? So when you're wondering if you've forgiven, is there a noticeable ping that goes off in your chest when you get near them and you know something's still there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can have boundaries, and if they're a dangerous person, we can have boundaries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if it's just unforgiveness on our part, we'll be sitting on the other side of the church when we don't even have to, because they're not going to attack us in church. It's our problem.
Yes.
Do you avoid fellowship with them? In other words, you don't even want restoration or reconciliation. You are avoiding.
Okay.
Do you still rehearse what you could have said? Do you still think of things you could have done to retaliate? Have you lost spiritual power since then? Are you having trouble entering into God's presence because the image of them keeps coming up?
Mm-hmm.
Are your prayers falling to the ground over this? Do you have physical problems and pain that don't get healed? Now, I do not want anybody to be condemned because, as you all know, I've been healed of 24 things, still have a couple to go myself. But sometimes there's a physical ache or pain that comes with unforgiveness. And if the Holy Spirit says that to you, then let him have it. Do periods of despondency return quickly after a brief joyful time because you're letting this be a backdrop to your life and ruin your joy? Is your sleep disturbed, not restful, troubled with thoughts about them or dreams? Sometimes, you know, we don't dream about that exact individual or situation. It's symbolic. We'll dream of, say, we're trying to hit somebody and we can't make our arm hit them. We're trying to hit them, trying to hit them.
Right.
And it's symbolic of the feelings we have.
Okay.
Does wrath, strife, or hatred really belong in the sin of witchcraft sins? Sometimes we think wrath and strife and hatred is kind of normal. Doesn't belong with that sin list in the Bible of walking in the flesh and witchcraft, but it does. Does it seem like blame is just a normal reaction to you to blame other people? Does my relationship with this person interfere with my relationship with God? Isn't this just human nature to hold resentment against people that sin against you? Isn't it healthy to have a fear of trusting them again? Now, that's a tricky one. Some people, if they actually molest people, then, yeah, we need really strong boundaries. But if you just had a big misunderstanding, if they're just carnal and fleshly, then we need to just let God handle them and grow them up and not hold it against them forever. Because a whole lot of people out there are walking in the flesh, and we don't have permission to hate them. Am I operating as a voice for God or Satan, in other words?
Wow.
Do I feel like I have a right to judge those who commit sin and never repent? God says we don't.
Right.
Do I expect God to forgive me fully while I do not forgive them? And can thoughts of unforgiveness, resentment, wrath, or retaliation actually make me sick? Yes. Well, guys, that's just one page out of 70 in the Tearing Down Strongholds course, and most of them are scriptures. You know, most of those pages are scriptures to declare so that the Word of God can wash us and cleanse us, show us what's in our heart, and so that we can give it to Jesus, get rid of it. However, this is a tough subject of knowing, have I truly forgiven, and have I truly asked forgiveness in all the ways that I should?
But can I ask you this? When you, when the, it's the head of each, how can I say it without giving out a lot of the, what, no names or anything?
Well, just
when
use a description, like authority figure.
Okay, when each situation is the head of the of everything, and all of it, it's the head.
The authority figures.
And, okay. And you, it comes to a point in your life you don't want to go into the church to sit under that anymore.
Okay, glad you asked. That is so common.
How do
what?
You handle that? Because you know that person hurt you, but you still have to go and sit under that. Do
right.
Is the person wrong to move this, remove themselves away from that?
Okay, now
and
here's several
go
questions
to the next
at once.
Place and it's another pattern.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Let me try to catch up.
Okay.
Try to catch up because, one, we have to ask God what authority figures we should submit to and for how long, because there may be a season for it and then it's over.
Okay.
We have to ask God if this is time to apply Matthew 5, is it, where he says, go directly to that person and say, what I thought you said was this, and what did you mean by that, or tell them how you feel. It's better to say, I felt so-and-so than it is to accuse them and say, you are, or you
and
are
that
not.
That has happened. That
okay.
has happened every time.
And
go to the person.
Almost everybody listening has had issues with authority figures. God just lets it happen. He lets us learn about being an authority figure, about carrying his authority and how to respect the chain of authority when their character isn't what it should be.
Okay.
And he lets us learn the hard way from David, who had to run from Saul, what was it, 10 or 15 years? You know, all these major figures in the Bible, you know, Moses knowing he's called to be a liberator, and yet he handles his authority in the wrong way and kills somebody. God lets us deal with all these authority issues, and we tend to learn the hard way ourselves before he gives us more authority. And I highly recommend a small book, powerful book, by Watchman Nee. That's N-E-E, Watchman Nee, on spiritual authority, because it covers both sides, what to do when, you know, authority figures are misusing their authority, and how we should respond so that God can trust us to be an authority figure.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, almost everybody listening can identify with you. They'll say, yep, yeah, people misuse their authority, and I don't see why God lets them go on. And God will, first of all, tell you whether to stay in that church, fellowship, business, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you have already gone directly to them, then you can ask God, should I go on to step number two to take somebody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Should it, step number three, come before the church? But a lot of times God will say, no, I want you to learn how to love and respect authority that's imperfect. And this has been hard for me because I was the woman at the well and I came into the church with high expectations. And I'd always been in church, but I had some pretty strict expectations. And I had to learn that there's probably no authority figure on the planet that I agree with more than 80%. And it wasn't so much that they were in sin, it's just we just didn't see things the same way. We didn't see how you treat people the same way. We didn't see how you carry your authority the same way. We didn't see spirituality the same way. We didn't see God the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And God wouldn't give me permission to leave yet. He said, I want you to learn how to love and respect authority figures that are different from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're in abuse, then you need to go to them. Most likely he'll say, go to them and say, when you say things like this, I feel so-and-so. I don't so much say that you accuse them, but say, I think, you know, the way it came across to me, what I think I heard you saying was this. And it feels like this to me, stirs up this in me. And let them know how they come across. So, let's see, was there another question?
I'm fine. I understand what you're saying. I couldn't get into a lot of more detail, you know, because I'm
uh-huh.
in one. But I understand what you're saying.
There are several articles, if you want to write these down, that might pertain, because
okay.
I know you probably have more than one issue. See, when these things become a pattern, and see, you can change churches, and the pattern will follow you if
right.
there are areas where you've not taken responsibility and asked forgiveness for your own part in it. The pattern will just follow you.
Right.
It's kind of like poor marriages. You can divorce that one and marry another one, but if there's responsibilities you haven't taken, then your stronghold is still there, and it will follow you. But if you look up keywords on crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv related to this, it can be on it. You can put in authority figures. You can put in words related to this bitterness stronghold. You know? But the biggest thing that sounds like you would really benefit from is if you go to our resources, our download store, you can order the Tearing Down Strongholds course for just, the downloads that you get instantly are $30, but the whole course and manual on CD, I think it's $22.45 or $25, something like that. That's mailed out, but it's on a CD. You can print out the 70-page manual. You can listen to all the teachings on the Most Common Strongholds. But that one page that I just read to you all from is just one page from that Strongholds course. And if God is drawing your attention to tearing down strongholds, then you will want to own that course so that you can not only help people pray through and out of their bitterness, but other things too.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, and I appreciate your time.
Well, I hope you'll call again.
I like it when people
ask really transparent questions like this.
And it happens, you know. I just needed a little bit more understanding on about the situation. I feel that I have forgiven these things, and I just want to be free from all of it, so I will be able to walk in my calling, you know, as
mm-hmm.
God would have me to walk into, with not feeling guilty about myself. You know,
okay,
what did I do wrong?
I can reply to that too.
Yes. What did I do wrong? Could I have done something better?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the pattern to happen again. I just want to be free from all of it. So I will be able to do what God would have me to do.
So if you look at the
crosswalk
prayer,
regardless of what they have done. Okay.
Right. If you look at the crosswalk prayer, read it slowly, then the Holy Spirit, in a short period of time, maybe not that minute, but He will tell you if you have some responsibility in some of your own reactions to ask forgiveness that you haven't covered yet. He won't play games with you. He is faithful to convict us if we need it.
Right.
And then, plus, I think I hear the Lord saying that you are called to carry His spiritual power and authority. And the Lord says, it is my training school to allow you to see how not to do it, but also to become strong in the Lord and to know how to respond to people that are reacting sinfully, whether it's a spiritual power, spiritual authority in their leadership or whatever. And the Lord says, I'm showing you not only how not to do it, but how to maintain your own walk in the Spirit when other people are in the flesh, walking in carnality, having sinful reactions, and because it's life and death for you to know how to stay in the Spirit around other people who are not. And so my focus isn't, you know, I'm not calling you to focus on their Christian walk. It's to know that this is part of my Holy Spirit custom training school for you, show you the ways that the devil would try to tear you down by causing you to react to other people's sin.
Yes.
He wants to separate you out.
Yes.
So the Lord says, rise up, Dar,
and
know that you are in officer training school. And when you're in officer training school, you learn how to, well, you start out in boot camp with an ornery sergeant. It's tough. You have to say yes, sir, anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
But in officer training school, it's the same thing. We have to rub
shoulders
with other leaders
who
have their fleshly days, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to walk in the Spirit regardless of how they're doing.
Yes,
have to learn how, and here's the key, you've got to learn how to come against the stronghold and love the person at the same time.
Yes.
I'd be out of business if I didn't believe that. You know, I have to help you come against the stronghold and love you at the same time.
Yes, I receive that.
And even if they're offended by your prayers, even if they're offended by you, just to learn how not to take offense yourself. So don't take the bait of Satan. Because I can't, the Lord says, I can't promote you into a place of leadership until you know how to walk in the spirit, even if everybody around you goes into the flesh. And sometimes it'll be that way. But something will happen in the church and everybody will go into a fleshly reaction. But I can't promote you to leadership if you're going to go right along with them.
Yes, that's so true. Thank you, Lord.
So this is your training school. I'm not trying to kill you, the Lord says, but it will bring your flesh to death so that when Satan sends out these hooks in the future, you won't bite.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's just training. You will live through it. You can take it. It'll be okay.
Okay, thank you so much, and you have a blessed night.
Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Same to you. Good night.
Okay, good night. Good night. Now, if anyone else wants to call in, we have about 10 or 15 minutes left here. You can push that number 1. You can call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683, and let us know that you have a comment or a question about how to pray through on something, comment on the teaching tonight, or maybe you need prayer or something yourself. I just want to, in the meantime, just pray for each one of you that you'll go to that Crosswalk Life prayer on crosswalklife.com. It's not the Crosswalk Life prayer. It's the Crosswalk prayer on crosswalklife.com. And read it and say, Lord, do I have a pattern in my life that's because of my sinful reaction? And I can ask myself these questions. I can ask you these questions tonight and find out what I sowed to cause me to reap this pattern and get free from it. Amen? Amen. So I hope you'll do that. You can find that prayer on crosswalklife.com. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Faithful to show us anything that would cause us to have blockages in our life, to keep us from fulfilling our destiny. You don't want us to be sin conscious. You want, but you will convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment so that we can walk in freedom. We can enjoy the healing and deliverance that you died to provide. Amen. So if there's anyone else has a comment or a question or needs prayer, has a question about how to pray for something, you need to call in 917-388-4683 right now, or push number 1 right now because we're drawn to a close. Yes, we do have time for you, but if no one else calls, then we'll go ahead and just worship a little bit. Thank God that he died on the cross and shed his blood so that we could not only be forgiven of individual sins, but here's the key tonight, that he died on the cross so that you could bring the whole pattern, the fleshly structure, to the cross. And you could say, Jesus, please bring the whole structure, the whole pattern to death. Show me my part in it so I can ask forgiveness and get past it. Please bring the whole pattern to death on the cross, because I can't bring it to death myself. Please replace this empty spot then with your life and your love and your power, your resurrection life, hallelujah. And I trust you, Jesus, that in its place that you will restore the reward that I've lost while I was deceived by this. You'll restore the blessings that my family and I had lost while the stronghold was going on, that you'll restore the years the locusts have eaten when I didn't know or didn't repent of this. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Well, I think worship is one of the best ways to get free, to enter into God's presence, to know his power and anointing. Amen. And so I think we'll go there tonight. I want you to just relax for a few minutes. Just invite Jesus to shine his light on your soul and spirit right now. You don't have to analyze yourself. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, Is there anything I need to pray through to break the power of in order to be totally aligned with you? We thank you, Lord.
If you're hungry, come to Him. If you're thirsty, come. For Jesus said, if you thirst, he that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. From God to the throne of God, rivers of life, rivers of life will flow out of your belly. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer that pants for the water, that unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Oh, come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yeah. Overflow you tonight. Saturate my heart. Let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled. I don't want to leak out, Lord. Keep me full. Drown me in your river. Drown me, Lord. Keep me full. Saturate me, Lord, that I may never be the same. Yes, I'm thirsty, Jesus. I hunger for your touch. I hunger for you, Lord. Oh, and I'm thirsty for more of your glory, Lord. More of your glory, oh God. I'm thirsty, Lord. And give me to drink. I'm thirsty, Lord. Come and give me to drink of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new wine, of the new. Give me, Lord, come again. You'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us even unto the end. Oh, Jesus, you gave your spirit to live within our hearts, and we can be strong in the Lord. Abandoned life that you give, because of the abundant life that you give, we more than come.